Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
That's a magic number. It's the magic number.
For today's installment of our series Pick 3, we've invited playwright and actress Lisa Crone to the studio. Her plays include the one-woman show 2.5-Minute Ride and the Tony-nominated Well, which she winningly describes as a solo show with other people. So maybe the next logical step was a musical. Crone wrote the book and lyrics for Fun Home, an acclaimed new musical that's just been extended through December at the Public Theater. Lisa Crone joins us to share her Pick 3 playlist. Good to have you with us on Soundcheck.
It's really nice to be here.
My intro makes it sound like you're very busy, but I haven't even gotten to the Bertolt Brecht yet. You're in The Good Person of Szechuan as well. Let's talk about Fun Home. It's based on a graphic memoir, right?
Yeah, by Alison Bechdel. She wrote this graphic memoir in 2006 that is the story of...
It might actually be better if you hold off for just a second.
I will do that.
Because I want to hear a little bit from Fun Home, just an excerpt from a song plus a little bit of the setup, and then maybe we can talk about it.
Welcome to our house on Maple Avenue. See how we polish and we shine. We rearrange and realign.
Everything is polished and sweet.
Caption. My dad and I both grew up in the same small Pennsylvania town, and he was gay, and I was gay, and he killed himself, and I became a lesbian cartoonist.
So that's a little bit of the setup from Fun Homes.
Yeah.
So it doesn't strike me as the most musical-friendly material, just, you know, taking the storyline, because the dad kills himself right after the daughter sort of comes out.
Yeah.
And it's...
Right. That doesn't say musical comedy to you? Seriously? And you've never met Jeanine Tesori, my friend.
Yes, who did Caroline or Change.
That's right.
As well. So she does the music, you do the book and the lyrics.
Yeah.
So... How difficult a transition was this to go from Alison Bechdel's graphic memoir to a musical theater piece?
It was really difficult. It was joyfully difficult, I would say, just because it's not theatrical. I mean, the graphic memoir, many people know it. People are very devoted to it. It was named Time Magazine Book of the Year when it came out in 2006. It's still in print. When people read it, they buy it for everyone they know. It's an enormously powerful and absorbing and compelling piece of work. And it feels, because it's so beautifully made, like it has this very clear narrative and arc and very clear-cut characters. But in a theatrical sense, none of those things exist.
Yeah.
So it had to be, I mean, I think what we endeavored to do, and it feels like we have succeeded to some extent, was to make something that was the same as the book but was totally different from the book. We had to reinvent it.
Are the narrative demands of a musical different from the narrative demands of a book or memoir?
Sure. They're also different from the narrative demands of a play.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're much more demanding, I think, is what I realized. I think I had thought... You know, I love musicals. I've loved musicals since I was a kid. And I think I had this assumption that if you have songs and you have dancing, you know, that it's going to be easier, actually, that
mm-hmm.
that's just fun and interesting. And I think in looking at a lot of musicals more closely as I've been working on this, I've realized that the engine for a musical has to be so clear and so simple, really. And the stakes have to be life and death.
And the songs and dances, if they're there, have to – I mean, you can't just, like, stop the story so that you can have a song. The song needs to – you're in the theater, you know. You have a limited amount of time. The song has to help move the story along.
Right. Well, the song has to – the story has to be in the song.
Right.
You have to need the songs. And I think the reason that even though we couldn't figure out why, and it took us a long time to make it work, that intuitively both Jeanine and I felt from the beginning like Fun Home actually would be a good musical, is that I think part of the power of that book is that there's this undercurrent of aching emotion that runs through that book. Mm. And it's a story about people who are really checked out and emotionally disconnected, and yet they're just aching with feelings they can't understand or acknowledge or express. And I think music is a way to show people mm-hmm. having that exact experience.
And Fun Home is short for funeral home.
So it is. The Bechdel family, mm-hmm. they grew up in a funeral home. It was the family business.
The musical is currently extended at the Public Theater through December 29th with music by Janine Tesori and book and lyrics by my guest Lisa Crone. So you say you grew up loving musicals. Your first pick in our pick three today is from a musical, right?
Yeah, from a musical review from 1952. This was a record that was in our house when I was a kid, New Faces of 1952. We had a number of I think there were three or four of these New Faces reviews in the 50s and maybe the early 60s, and my mother just loved them.
So what was this? Was this like a compilation almost of best moments of musicals from that year?
No. I think it was a review that was written to showcase these up-and-coming talents.
Oh.
And so in this one, Alice Ghostly was in this. Robert Clary, who sings the song that I picked, Eartha Kitt, sang the song Monotonous.
So Eartha Kitt was an up-and-comer in 1952.
She was an up-and-comer. And I think the writers were as well. This piece was written by Ronnie Graham. But Sheldon Harnick was also one of the writers in New Faces of 1952.
All right. The song is called I'm in Love with Miss Logan, sung by Robert Clary.
I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love with Miss Logan. I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love with Miss Logan. Though I still hate arithmetic, I'll pass arithmetic, long as Miss Logan is teaching arithmetic. I'm in love with Miss Logan, and I wish I was not. I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love, that's my slogan. With an angel who flies up above, that's Miss Logan. Though the study of history still is a mystery, she teaches history, I learn my history. I'm in love with Miss Logan, and I hope nobody finds out.
Well, not sure what to make of that.
Well,
so it's not part of a larger story.
It's not part of a larger story, but that song has its own little arc. You know, first of all, there's a dialogue section that was just coming up, which I was sorry to miss because I really love it. The teacher shows up and she has that. Part of what I love about it is they have those trained stage. You know, she says, what are you sitting here for? You know, he's an adorable little boy, isn't he? And then her boyfriend comes to, you know, pick her up from school. And he what you hear is that he sort of kisses her on the cheek. And she says, not in front of the little boy.
Good night, Andre. See you tomorrow. He's a funny little fella. Sweet, though.
And then when they leave, then he sings the next verse, which is, if there's one person I don't love, it's Miss Logan. If there's one person I'd like to slug, it's Miss Logan.
Wow.
And like to shove, it's Miss Logan.
If there's one person I'd like to shove, it's Miss Logan.
And then there's a very satisfying reversal, and it ends with him singing, I wish I was dead, is the last line of the song.
What a family-friendly little story you've just told us, Lisa, in the space of just a minute or two. I'm in love with Miss Logan from the cast recording of the album New Faces of 1952. Lisa Crone picking three, playlist for us on Soundcheck today. She's in Good Person of Sichuan at the Public Theater through December 8th, and she wrote the book and lyrics for the new musical Fun Home, which is extended at the Public Theater through December 29th. So did you have any trepidations as a longtime fan of musicals into actually getting involved in writing one yourself?
I think every play you write comes with nothing but trepidations. You know, I mean, I think it feels like putting your neck on a guillotine, frankly. The process of writing it was enormously challenging. And as I said, it was one of the most absorbing and satisfying writing experiences that I've had. And working with Janine on it was great. And, she sort of made this career of you know, tutoring playwrights in becoming lyricists. And that was a really great experience.
And for you, you know, I would imagine it sort of ups the ante a bit going from, you know, basically one-woman shows or one-woman-with-other-people shows to something that's a genuinely collaborative process from the ground up, you know, working with Janine Tesori.
Well, I've worked in collaboration my whole career, and one of the you know, one of my long-term collaborations is with the collaborative theater company I co-founded and worked with, the Five Lesbian Brothers, and we wrote five plays in our – I mean, we're still a company, but we are all living in different places, so not actively writing. And then also I have also written multi-character plays. I mean, I think I've always been interested – once I've figured out how to do something formally, I've been interested in moving on to the next thing, to the next thing.
Well, speaking of moving on to the next thing, you mentioned the Five Lesbian Brothers. Your next pick is sung by one of them, right?
Yes, written and sung by one of them. Yeah,
that's Dominique DeBell.
Yeah, Dominique DeBell.
Tell us about Buried, from which this song comes.
Yeah, this is a show that Dominique did at the Wow Cafe, which is about this character, Bill Parker, who is living in a hole and eating dirt, and he's paying for these string of crimes he committed against young girls, which sounds also very bleak. I mean, Dominique is, I just think she's a genius. And I think when I came to the Wow Cafe, when I came downtown, I think I grew up in a very, my family are funny storytellers, and they're interesting and warm, and you know, I've written plays about my parents. I find them enormously fascinating. But my mother's a Midwesterner, my father's a German Jew, and they have this sort of rationality. And I think when I started to be around people, artists who had associative logic or poetic logic, that was a new thing for me, and I was really drawn toward it. I didn't understand it, but I could see that, even though I can articulate it now, I couldn't have articulated then, to become an artist, I was going to have to learn how these other forms of logic and connection and expression. And Dominique has always inspired me in that way. And this song has a kind of a sophistication and yet a naive simplicity that is kind of the hallmark of what she does. And I have had it in my music for many, many years, and I always go back to it.
Shh, who hurt you? Nobody, shh, who hurt you? Nobody. Here's my bed and I made it. And so here I will lie. Who took your hat off? Nobody. Who gave you your first bath? Nobody. I gave myself my first bath. I washed myself with my own spit. Whose pants are you wearing?
Nobody from Buried by Dominique DeBell, part of the group known as Five Lesbian Brothers, which included for, am I right saying this in the past tense because you're all dispersed now, or is Five Lesbian Brothers still a thing?
Well, we're still we still have our bank account. Okay. And and also our plays are licensed and published, and they're done by other companies. And
Lisa Krohn with me here on Soundcheck, sharing a Pick 3 playlist, including that song from Dominique DeBell. You guys had joked that you wanted to do a musical called Big Heavy-Handed Message from Five Angry Lesbians Who Are Too Ugly to Get Men, An Evening of Song.
Correct.
Will that ever happen?
I think that works best as a title.
As a title. Your final pick is Diana Krall, Mrs. Elvis Costello.
That's right. Right.
Terrific jazz singer and pianist. And what do you picked something from her live album in Paris.
Yeah. Well, this recording I find so immediate and so incredible. And, you know, what she's singing is Joni Mitchell, A Case of You. And as I was sort of going through and deciding, you know, which songs to bring in with me, you know, I'm just like a lesbian cliche of loving The folk rock, you know, like all my, the ones that just moved me to tears are all, I mean, it just couldn't, I couldn't be a bigger cliche. And of course, I'm just slavish Joni Mitchell fan. And but a lot of them also that I was interested in were covers.
Yeah.
And I think as an actor, as a theater person, there's something about what you understand about performance and interpretation in a cover. And also the way, you know, being both a playwright and an actor, the way an original text can be illuminated by a great cover, that's really interesting to me. And this recording, I mean, it stops me in my tracks every time I hear it. And it's also just the height of craft that she's so in control of it, and yet it is spooling like we've never heard it before, and the tribute, both in her singing and her piano playing. You hear the original, and yet you hear this completely sort of revelatory interpretation of it just slays me.
So it, kind of telling that you didn't pick the Joni Mitchell original, but someone else's kind of interpretation of it.
This was actually my first pick. It just seemed like I just actually think it's one of the greatest recordings of all time.
Wow. Diana Krall's version of A Case of You from her live album in Paris. We've been speaking with Lisa Krohn. She's been sharing a playlist with us on our regular Pick 3 feature here at Soundcheck. She's very busy performing in Brecht's Good Person of Sichuan at the Public Theater, and the musical Fun Home, which she wrote the book and lyrics for, is also at the Public Theater, extended through the end of December. Lisa, this has been great fun. Thank you so much for sharing your playlist with us.
Thank you. I've enjoyed it so much.
Oh, you're in my blood like holy wine. Tastes so bitter and you taste so sweet. Oh, I could drink a case of you, darling, and still be on my feet. I'd still be on my feet.